Hey, welcome to the 11th episode of Cheeky Power, the podcast for vegan athletes and entrepreneurs who want to change the world. Oliver Zurgis here from Cheeky Power. And listen, I've been listening to my past episodes and I realized how cocky I was, and I want to apologize if I've hurt anyone's feelings or if I came out a bit too cocky. It's absolutely not my nature. I'm usually the silent person in the room, but I just want to say, hey, thanks for sticking around. I know you're going to get a lot of value out of this interview with Mitra, the founder of Nutriholist. She is a wellness holistic coach who helps people get off yo-yo diets, get off diets on the whole, and just adopt a more healthy, integrous lifestyle. I mean, she struggled a lot, and she has a lot to bring to the table when it comes to having proper nutrition. She's taught me a lot, and I'm just really grateful for everything she's brought to the table. If you're struggling a bit with the diet and you're not sure what to do, what is good, what is bad, stick around for this interview. I mean, she's gonna give a lot of good tips. I know we talk a lot about nutrition, but I think it comes into the aspect of entrepreneurship, and there's so much more than just getting the numbers in, calling as many people as possible. It's about being integrous to your body and really listening to it, okay? Because if you're always pushing it to its limits, one day it's gonna break down on you the time you least expect it and the time you most need it. So I really want to invite you to listen to this episode if you're a young entrepreneur. Listen to your body at the same time. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the interview. Talk soon. Because you mentioned on your blog, on the About You section, how you were struggling a lot with dieting and finding the right way to eat. And I felt that was something that's very relevant, at least in today's world, where we're projected constantly with body image issues, and I would love for you to dive into that.
Yeah, definitely. So just to give you a little bit of a background, I grew up eating really healthy, like lots of vegetables, fruits, home-cooked meals, and I was always kind of fit and healthy overall. Until in my early 20s, I moved to Canada to go and get my master's in computer science. So I was all alone in a new country with no friends, no family. So under a lot of emotional stress and also a lot of stress at school with my intensive program, I had no time to cook, and honestly, I didn't know how to cook at all because until then, I was always living at home with my mom, and she was a great cook. So, I was eating out all the time. I was eating lots of processed junk foods, and before I realized, I was overweight. I was gaining more and more, and I was getting breakouts. I was really unhappy. So that's when the dieting cycle, the vicious cycle, started, and I turned to all the fat-free, sugar-free diet foods out there, which was all processed, and I was also like killing myself at the gym, spending that little free time that I had in the gym every day, sometimes working up to 2 hours. And really like killing myself, but I wasn't getting any results, and I was just like putting on more and more pounds. So it was really, really frustrating, and I felt so lost, and I didn't know what to do. Until one day one of my friends said, you know what, you should just stop working so hard and trying to get back to your previous weight. Why don't you just accept that this is who you are now and make your peace with it? So this was a really changing moment for me because, well, at first I was really upset at my friend and thought that he was being very insensitive. But looking back, I'm very thankful to him because he really opened up my eyes and made me realize that the reason why I was getting any results was that I was doing it all wrong. I thought that I was eating healthy. I thought that, oh, all these diet foods are going to make me lose weight. But I was just putting lots of stress on my body. And after doing a lot of research, I realized that I had to go back to the basics, to whole foods, and deal with all the emotional stuff that I was going through.
I like that. I like the way you're able to come off really genuinely and talk about that, because I feel so many other people are not talking about it but are living the same thing you are. And what would you tell, let's say, your younger version of yourself, where you are in a gym working out 2 hours a day? What would you tell yourself?
If you're trying something and it's not working, maybe it's best to just pause and reevaluate. See what you're doing wrong, because sometimes we get stuck in a loop and we think, oh, maybe I'm not exercising too hard. So instead of working out for an hour, I'm going to exercise for 2 hours and then I'm going to lose weight. But when you keep doing that and things just keep getting worse, then it's time to take a break and look at things from the outside, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're too close to see things.
What is your daily routine to really distance yourself from the process and analyze what's working and what's not?
One of the things that I find very helpful is talking to other people, because sometimes we're really close to our problems ourselves and we don't realize them. But the biggest things in my personal life were always things that came from people close to me from the outside, either my best friends or my husband. So I think like discussing your issues and opening up to your close friends or family can be very helpful.
I was actually expecting meditation to be the answer, but I really like the way you bring up other people, and I can definitely relate with that, especially when I'm working on a problem and I'm just so stuck into it. I'm working on it for 2 hours straight, and then let's say my friend comes up and he says, oh, why don't you just do it that way? And it just clicks and you're like, wow, I should have just gotten advice right then and there. And my question is now, how do you mitigate, let's say someone gives you advice or where you're looking for advice in general, how do you mitigate what is relevant and what's not?
I think the best thing to do is to listen, like be a really good listener and don't interrupt them when they're giving you advice, because they're basically like telling you things out of their own experience. So naturally, some of it might work for you, some of it might not, but just be respectful, listen to everything, and then see like which of the things that they mentioned could work for you based on the knowledge that you have of yourself, of your routines. You know, sometimes some advice that's coming from a different person might not work for you, and you can tell that right away. It's not your lifestyle, it's not you, so you know that you're never gonna do that. But again, like some of it can be very helpful. So just listen to everything and then make your decision based on what you know about yourself.
So it's really about knowing yourself first and then taking what other people are telling you and mismatching it and seeing if it's relevant to what you're living.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything you feel that is oversaid in the health industry and the food industry that you think is not relevant to many people, but that people still strive towards but aren't getting the necessary results?
I'm really happy to see that these days a lot of people are going back to basics and consuming a lot more and more whole foods. But then I see a lot of people, especially in the vegan community, who are focusing less on vegetables and healthy fats and more on fruits. So even though fruits are really nutritious and really good for you, but like eating 10 bananas a day or like having ice creams every day for breakfast, it's not good for your health. It can send your blood sugar on a roller coaster ride and it can mess up your hormones. So it's very important to make sure you balance out your treats or your smoothies with vegetables and healthy fats that are coming from nuts and seeds. So that's just one example. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great answer. I'm actually one of those bandwagon guys that jumps on the ice cream because I felt it was very healthy. It was a healthy alternative to ice cream.
But exactly, yeah.
You're absolutely right. When it comes to blood sugar levels, it just spikes you up. And so you would say the alternative is eating more nuts?
Well, I love nice creams, and I think it's a great idea to replace traditional dairy-based ice creams with nice creams, but don't overdo it and try to balance it out by adding other things like nut seeds, nut butters, like hemp seeds, chia seeds, or even vegetables into your nice creams. For example, you can use frozen zucchini or frozen cauliflower into your smoothies. You can hide it in, and that's a great way to cut back on the sugar and nourish your body with more nutrients.
And maybe going into your breakfast, what do you typically consume early morning?
Okay, so the first 60 minutes is not breakfast, but I'm just going to talk about that, and then I'm going to tell you what I have for breakfast. So right after I wake up, I spend the first 5 to 10 minutes in bed meditating. So I actually prefer laying down meditating. I know some people just say you have to sit and do it, but I prefer lying down. So that's just what works for me. And I like to use the Headspace app, which is great for guided meditation. So after I do that, I get up and I go straight to the kitchen. I drink a cup of water with fresh lemon juice and a dash of cayenne pepper to kickstart the digestive system. Then I rinse my mouth by drinking another cup of water. And then I do oil pulling, which I'm not sure if you've heard of, but it's basically squishing a teaspoon of coconut oil in your mouth for about 20 minutes. I do that, and in the meantime, I, you know, get dressed, wash my face, go to the bathroom, and, you know, do all the things. And after the 20 minutes is up, I brush my teeth and I have a light snack, which is usually a date with some almond butter, and I go to the gym for a 30-minute workout. And then after my workout is done, I come up and I have my breakfast. For breakfast, it changes, but mostly changes based on the season. So during spring and summer, I have lots of smoothies. But when it's colder outside in winters, I have porridges like oats or quinoa porridges, buckwheat smoothies, things that are more warming. But most of the time, it's on the sweeter side rather than savory breakfast.
Wow, yeah. I've got so many questions. I want to go into your meditation. I want to go into your porridge making, but more importantly, you mentioned something actually I was absolutely not aware of, and that was coconut swishing, or what did you call it?
Oil pulling.
Oil pulling. Could you maybe dive more into that?
Yeah, so oil pulling, it's one of the things that goes back to thousands of years ago. People were doing it all around the world, and it's known to reduce the bacteria in your mouth, so the oil actually absorbs the bacteria. And so you have to be careful not to swallow the oil, but just swish it around. And, well, there's lots of research about it. Some people say it hasn't been proven to reduce the bacteria or protect the teeth. So I'm not going to talk about scientific research on this, but for me personally, it has helped reduce sensitivity, and also it has helped whiten my teeth more. So I've had a great experience with it, so I just do it, and I hope that it's also helpful in with, you know, overall teeth and gum health.
So I guess you're not swallowing it though.
No, you should be careful not to swallow it. And, yeah, just spit it out and, spit it in a bowl or, like, in the garbage or in a toilet bowl, because it can also clog the drains.
I've been struggling kind of with meditation early in the morning because I feel that if I meditate right after bed, I feel my thoughts just take a hold of me so easily and I'm not able to get a solid meditation in. Do you feel that's the same thing for you?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I prefer to do a shorter, like maybe 3 to 5 minutes if I feel that it's not really working for me. So just spend a few minutes in bed to clear my head. And then I would do do another 5 to 10 minute meditation in the afternoon. But some days that I'm not so tired, or I don't have like all the racing thoughts in my head, it works. So I guess it depends on my mood.
I'd like to dive now into kind of your entrepreneurial background, because you started NutriHolist and you seem to have some awesome success with it. And maybe going up or going back to the point, do you remember like the specific moment when you decided I have to start NutriHolist?
As I mentioned, I had I struggled with my weight and with emotional eating, binge eating for years. So once I figured out, you know, how, like, what was causing everything, and I realized how easy it was to get over it, I was so obsessed with nutrition. I was always researching and reading about health and nutrition, and I started cooking. So I was really into all that health and nutrition game. And I was working as a project manager in one of the biggest tech companies in the world, but I was not happy in my job at all. And whenever they asked me, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years, I never saw myself doing that. But as I was talking, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes you're just too close to things and you don't realize what you're doing wrong. My husband actually opened up my eyes and made me realize that I needed to change my career. And once he mentioned that, it was like the aha moment. And I just knew that I was meant to go back to school, study nutrition and help people become healthier and happier. So I wasn't ready to leave my job. I went back to school while still working full time. And once I finished school, I slowly set up my website and started NutriHolist, opened up the Instagram account, and then after a few months, I quit my job and decided to focus full-time on this business.
Awesome transition. I like how you were able to tie into the fact that you actually got help from outside, and which is just an internal aha moment, but actually influenced by your husband.
Yes, yeah, I never thought that it was an option to change my career, because I grew up, you know, thinking that, oh, you go to school, then you get a job, and that's basically your life. You're supposed to do that for the rest of your life. But yeah, he mentioned that, oh, maybe you should change your career. So, it's so simple, so stupid now that I think about it. Uh-huh. But I never thought about it, honestly, at that time.
Mm-hmm. No, but absolutely relevant. I feel that we often tend to keep pushing until we get a kind of a kick or a push to realize that, hey, we're not really pushing in the right direction and we're just going to end up killing ourselves like you were doing back then in the gym, working out 2 hours a day.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes things can be also too comfortable. Like when you have a safe job and you're earning a good salary, so that can, like, things can get comfortable, but you shouldn't be afraid to push yourself and take risks, especially opening up your own business. It's a huge risk. But if you're doing something that you absolutely love and you're passionate about, then it's completely rewarding and it's totally worth all the risk.
Like that. How about, maybe, I know there's so many questions I want to ask you now, but maybe just taking it one more step, was there any, in the beginning stage of NutriHolist, was there any kind of struggle you were kind of dealing with, and how were you able to overcome it?
So you go to school, you learn everything about nutrition, and you are so excited when you're done to go ahead and help people. But once you start your business, you realize that you have no idea how to run a business. You don't learn. Well, basically, we had just one course on business, and it was a really short course. And even though I found it very, very exciting, but it just ended really quickly before I had a chance to learn all the things that I wanted. So you have to learn all the business aspect of it through trial and error. So I guess that was the most challenging part, how to market yourself, the sales part of it, which I still struggle with. It doesn't come naturally to me. So I find that I'm really good at the nutrition part of it. But I think that it's, if you need help with other sides, it doesn't hurt to go to people that can help you with those.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you're dealing it with now, because since you're, maybe your strength is not necessarily in sales, are you delegating that to someone else?
Well, I'm actually starting to look for someone to help me with that. But up to now, no, I was just doing everything on my own, and I find it very exhausting and challenging. So right now, I'm actually looking for someone to help me with the coming up with a marketing strategy for my business and help grow it.
And how can people connect with you?
Well, you can find me on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at NutriHolist. I post healthy recipes almost every day. I also have a website, NutriHolist.com, where I offer coaching services, meal plans, and also a blog where I share even more healthy, delicious recipes. On my website, there's a complimentary gift for people who want to join my tribe. I change this gift every once in a while. Right now, it's a free 5-day soup challenge that people can sign up for, and they can download it right away and get started.
Hey, thank you so much for making it all the way to the end of the episode. Listen, go show Mitra some support. Go sign up for her soup challenge and just spread the love towards her. She's been bringing so much to the episode, and I think it's only fair to show the love and just support her. It's been a pleasure having you here on the episode. Have an awesome day.